Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
Now, welcome along, everyone. So, busy show this evening. We have Keith Andrews, who was in conversation with John Giles earlier on today. So, we'll have Keith talking to John around 7:30 or so. We have Eddie Brennan in studio. Kilkenny legend, 8 All-Irelands, Eddie Brennan, 11 Leinsters, 4 All-Stars. And at the age of 40, he's in a club Leinster final this weekend, so we'll chat to him. And obviously he's managing Laois as well at the moment. And we'll talk to the Guardians' David Conn as well, who has been spending time in Qatar 4 years out from the World Cup. The air-conditioned stadiums, which I thought was pseudoscience and gone and not happening.
Yeah.
It now turns out is happening. Works brilliantly. David Conn was in a stadium and it was outside and air conditioned and it was lovely and crisp and cool. So
how?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a miracle, really. Dr. Saud Ghani is the doctor, studied over in the UK, has gone back to Qatar University now. He's developed the technology. They're saying, you know, this is the potential uses for this are endless out in that part of the world, from playgrounds to all outdoor areas. So it seems in 4 years' time, there will now be air-conditioned stadiums. I just thought this was written off as a pitch
kind of
initially. Yeah. Well, we can do this, and then it proved we can't
do
this.
And is that an eco-friendly?
Oh, of course it's not.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought.
They're air-conditioning a stadium outside. I mean, we're burning the planet as quickly as we can, but the World Cup will be more comfortable is the point.
Yeah. It's interesting because the World Athletics Championships is there
next year,
September, early October, and like the marathon, I think, started midnight.
Right.
Because of temperatures, it's going to be a very, very strange event.
Yeah. Well, he's on the way after 9 o'clock on the football show. Usual tales of awfulness from the migrant workers, as you can imagine.
Yeah. How have you been celebrating, though? Do you know the great news?
The great news that hurling is finally recognised.
Hurling is officially great.
I saw this headline and haven't had time to click in on it just yet, so I'm not sure of the details. What is the story?
Well, I think Richie's commented in the news around a while anyway, but...
I'll let you take it, Kieran, to be honest.
Okay, thanks. But a couple of years ago, UNESCO, put forward this thing that they wanted to have a list of protected cultural activities. And three were put forward for
UNESCO
Ireland.
Being...
The United Nations, is it Economic and Social Cultural Organization, something like that?
Sounds about right.
It's a social cultural body of the UN anyway.
Right,
so.
Okay.
But three have been put forward
Educational,
for Ireland.
Educational, scientific and cultural organization.
Okay, it was close. Not bad.
Yeah, well done.
Not bad guess. But hurling was put forward. Ellen Piping got in last year. And UCD, I think UCD Folklore Archive was put forward. But hurling is good in now, and I was very curious, like, what else is in this list other than Ellen Piping and hurling. And it, like, there's hundreds of things, like, from countries all over the world, but there's some bizarre ones, like shrimp fishing on horseback. I haven't made that up. Shrimp fishing on horseback is
where is that? I
can't remember, but
can we get a compromise rules between
this
that
is
and
a great
hurling
one.
Or
the beer culture of Belgium is on it. Beer culture of Belgium.
I've had some lefis.
Is a protected cultural activity, according to UNESCO.
So is reggae.
Reggae got in today. Falconry got in today.
Falconry?
Yeah. Oh, no, falconry might have already been on, but falconry is in as well.
So Richie,
there's a lot of little different dances. Trying to say this without ending up like three sniggering schoolboys. Tugging contest is on it.
As in,
I have no idea.
Tug a rope, I'd say.
No, I have no idea.
Has to be.
Yeah. I can see how that's an important cultural institution.
Certain parts of England where they wear like massive boots and they're going to do that kind of thing. Yeah.
But isn't it the last thing you want to do is give hurling people more notions, really?
Is it possible?
Yeah. Like there was a presentation by the GA today and it was looking at the backdrop was something like the fastest and most skillful field sport in the world. And I was thinking, how do you know it's the most skillful? Like, I love hurling. A couple of the best sporting events I've been at this year, by a mile, were hurling games. But how is hurling more skillful than soccer, than a top-class, when you see what top-class footballers can do?
I think it's...
Like, why do people say this?
It's the speed and the fact that you're using a separate instrument.
You don't believe this. Why are you saying that?
I'm not saying it. I'm putting forward what the case might be. I'm an impartial journalist here, Kieran, as well, you know.
Do you think football is more skillful than hurling, soccer?
Well, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you?
I've given it no thought, actually. Seriously, I'm trying to think now.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there's a bigger variation in the ways that you can manipulate a football.
Mm.
You know?
Can they not just both be skillful?
Yeah,
this
of course.
Is like,
yeah.
This is like trying to compare
yeah,
bands.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, why? Yeah, well,
that's his point. Why are the GAA claiming the most skillful tag? That's Kieran's point. How dare
they? Yeah, but that's it. They're obsessed with this. Of that, we have the best.
Because they don't like that soccer crowd. That's why.
Mm.
Yeah.
Probably is genuinely the fastest field sport, though. We can give them that.
Yeah, and it's got faster.
Like as opposed to Gaelic football in the 90s. But it probably is the fastest field sport, so yeah. You give them that. But skillful is a big old claim, all right, especially for any sport where you carry the ball in your hand.
Yeah, because when you watch elite sport at the top level,
yeah.
Whether it's rugby, whether it's American football, whether it's hockey, the skill level is very, like the skill level at top level
basketball.
In sport is very high. Yeah. So I don't know why you make these people have to make these kind of boasts. You can just say it's brilliant and it's one of the only things that's distinctively Irish left and it's great and we should treasure it. But it would be great if it was played widely in a few counties outside traditional seven or eight that have been there for a long time.
That's the elephant in the room, that there's only about six counties who play it.
But that's what bugs me about this. All this GA boasting today and going off on some kind of trip to Australia to supposedly promote the game in front of 3,000 people.
Mm.
And you're going, like, promote the bloody games that are on here. Like, yeah. Why in the last 25 years have only Dublin really come forward as contenders? But at the same time, you've lost awfully. So you haven't got any extra county in those 25 years. So.
I mean, it's, you're dead right. I was in good form before I met you, actually. I was feeling all right about things. Now I hate hurling and I'm angry at the GAA. What else do we take a shot at? has this been bugging
don't
you?
Get me started.
Have you been watching people celebrate hurling all day on Twitter? Is that why you're? Is that what you're reacting against?
I think people are celebrating something that they. Like, what is it? It's like we say, was anybody celebrating when shrimp fishing on horseback?
I just Googled that, okay? And there's fantastic pictures of shrimp fishing on horseback. It actually looks fantastic. So
it's the fastest fishing sport in the world.
Sport in the world. So they're doing it on the what looks like a beautiful seaside situation, and the horse is maybe up to halfway up its
what
leg.
What country did they
in
do
water?
It?
Well, I'm getting to that. If you give me a second, okay. just take it in bit by bit.
So, off the country.
So you've a little shot there. So he's gone in the seaside with his horse halfway up his legs in seawater, and he's hauling something behind. Shrimp fishing on horseback, an enduring Belgian tradition.
Belgium?
How did Belgium get two in there today?
On the Northwest Belgian coach, there is a little known tradition.
No, they didn't get in today. This was the overall list over the years.
Oh, sorry, beer. Go on.
Beer culture Belgium is the best, though.
Is beer culture Ireland not in there? Shrimp fishing on horseback. Visit any good seafood restaurant in the country.
Beer culture hurling.
And you're bound to
beer
see.
Beer culture Northside Dublin.
grey shrimp on the menu. And so they say, the activity consists of what its name describes, fishing shrimp on a horse. To do it, the fishermen drag the fishing nets behind them, picking up the shrimp from the sands while on horseback.
Yeah. What else should we put in, though? Given out about Gaelic football, Frank McNally suggested that today. That's a good one.
Curbs.
Pretending we care what pundits say. Bob Marley jerseys,
yeah.
Fake dead footballers.
Ah, no, that was unfortunate.
He's Spanish. We can't put that in.
So UNESCO, hurling and camogie, protected cultural activities. Very interesting.
Ticket head.
And what does being protected mean, by the way?
Anyone buying or selling?
George the Greek and somebody else we can't mention. The case is ongoing, I believe.
What does the new status afford hurling, can I ask? What does this change? But oh, sorry, by adding hurling to the list.
They can't make hurling in Germany.
The government commits to keeping the game alive.
Ensuring
respect for it, raising awareness about its importance. The GAA said
Leo tweeted about it something.
They have to get a few quid out of it.
I think he mentioned Reggie got in as well, so Leo was going for the street cred at the same time.
Right.
Was he wearing his Bowles jersey at the time? Or?
Okay.
I don't know.
Leo's a North Sider, so you never know.
So, anyway.
He's Castleknock. Does that count?
He's Roselawn. He wants to be Castleknock, but he's not. I'll tell you that much for nothing. There's a man who knows that area quite well.
There's a text in. Badminton is apparently the fastest game in the world. I said field sport, though.
Yeah.
That's the great line, because ice hockey must be faster, surely. Yeah. Or archery.
Shooting.
You know, there's nothing faster than a gun.
Superman.
Yeah. Neymar, best soccer player in the world, wouldn't last 2 minutes in a hurling field.
I know, he's awful.
I'm not.
He's the worst great player of all time.
I don't know, I disagree he's a great player as well. I'm sorry, I just
But
can't.
He's
very wasteful way too often for me for him to be truly great. Now he can do extraordinary
things. And
he's
too consumed with the bullshit he goes on with. Like, that takes up too much of his time. Last night was ridiculous. Not just the rolling around all the time, but like even the first time he changed his boots. Like, it's all It's all him all the time, and you know, is that time wasting? Is it just?
That's what football is, though.
Like, why does he do this stuff?
I wouldn't be surprised if we're now approaching a point where it's in their contracts that they have to change their boots a certain number of times a season.
Oh, would be, yeah.
The exposure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but during the game, for no reason, apparent reason last night, in the first half, he changed his boots.
That's what I mean.
I would think. Okay.
Listen, I'd say they say Neymar 8 times across the season, so people don't get suspicious. Just change your boots for no reason.
Yeah,
and we're talking big matches. Remember, he was sponsored by an underwear company and kept pulling down his shorts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm somebody who knows these things because I frequent these sites. But you know those sites that basically preview like the new jerseys that are coming up the next season. What such and such is going to have? Is there, you know, like the Boseway jersey, etc. Half of those sites are basically like what footballer is wearing what boots at what time, and such is premiering a new pair of boots that are, you know, have an extra tongue or something on them. It's stupid stuff like that that earns them their money.
Mm. Surely one of the main reasons, says John, hurling isn't popular outside traditional counties is that it's so hard to learn, i.e. too skillful. It's part of it. It is hard to learn for sure, and you do need a hurl and helmet and someone who knows what they're doing. It's easy to just learn football on the hoof. You're saying no to that?
But there has to be a willingness to coach people, you know, that the game is introduced to kids to learn it. Like from what I've seen, a lot of kids love it when they're introduced to it. And you see in GAA clubs in Dublin now, if you take a kid along, they generally start them with hurling before football.
Do they?
Because I think that they do think it does take longer to master.
Well, what was it Gerlach Nan said recently in that documentary? You're a late starter if you're 7 or 8 or 9.
Yeah. But Sean O'Gahal Bean was in Australia, he was 10 or 11, was it?
That's true.
Ended up as a brilliant hurler, so you can over-exaggerate those things as well, I think.
Yeah.
What about Liverpool? What's going wrong with Liverpool in Europe?
Well, John Giles is saying repeatedly they don't have a
midfield. Well,
a football playing midfield, and that was a phrase Graeme Souness used last night. So if the front three are not doing magical things as they were for so much of last season, then they don't seem to have a midfield who can engineer something.
Well, that's a large part of it. And if you do look at their best performances last season, I think either Coutinho or Oxlade-Chamberlain were part of the midfield. So an extra attacker. Not for all the best performance, but for a lot of them that they were in there. But I think the big issue is Firmino. Firmino's just, there's an incredible stat now, because we're only a third through this season, but since the start of last season, he's played 85 games, I think, or 75. I think it's, possibly 75 for club and country.
Uh-huh.
So that takes a huge physical toll, but also a mental toll, because if you think of the Champions League run, getting ready for Champions League, final, losing it, having to get up for a World Cup straight away, dealing with an exit in the quarterfinals to Belgium when they were favourites, only got 2 or 3 weeks holiday, I believe, straight back in, and he just hasn't been himself.
Yeah.
Like his stats of numbers have gone way, way down, and he's the player that's been so central to their present game, and it's just they're really missing something. So I was thinking next week after the good the Merseyside derby, they play Burnley and Bournemouth before they play Napoli. And he could really do with giving him a week off, but I don't know if he can feels he can do that.
It's difficult. Man City are steamrolling everybody, yeah.
Except Leon. They haven't beaten Leon 2 times.
Well, that's true.
Lost one, drawn one.
That is true. The Merseyside Derby live, by the way, and off the ball this Sunday. So they are our general thoughts of the day thus far. John Giles on the way around 7:30. Eddie Brennan after 8 o'clock.
Get a sting for that. Get sponsored.
The ills of the day put to bed.
Off the ball, thoughts of the day.
The news round is brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, champion in the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. We get Screwfix to sponsor thoughts of the day as well.
Get that Brain Power Plus that they flog on Alex Jones's site, InfoWars.
Oh, God.
So what's going on then?
Celtic need a win this evening to keep alive any realistic hope of making the Europa League knockout phase. They kicked off at 5-6 in the Group B meeting in Trondheim, where it is Rosenborg 0, Celtic 1. That Celtic goal coming 3 minutes before the break from Scott Sinclair. The other game in that group is the Red Bull Derby, where it's Salzburg 0, Leipzig 0, 66 minutes on the clock in that one. Meanwhile, Arsenal also kicked off their Group B meeting with Vorskla at 5-6. Arsenal leading at the moment by 3-0. They are already qualified, regardless of what happens tonight. Elsewhere in Group E, Sporting are currently 4-1 up away to Karabag. At 8, Chelsea need only a draw from their meeting with PAOK Thessaloniki to be assured of top spot in Group L with a game to spare. There was a 5:55 start in the other Group A game, or the other Group L game, pardon me, in Belarus this evening, where Bate Borisov are leading Vidi by 1-0. While Rangers start the night bottom of Group G, but could end the night top with a win over Villarreal. Rapid Vienna currently sit top of that group on 7 points, following an injury time Philip Schobesberger goal gave them a 2-1 win away to Spartak Moscow. Manchester United have triggered the one-year option on goalkeeper David De Gea's contract. The Spanish international's deal was due to end in the summer, allowing him to sign a pre-contract agreement with overseas clubs in January, wherever United have extended his stay at Old Trafford for at least another year.
Poor David De Gea. It's terrible, really. Michal Ofue has tweeted in, can you tell Richie it's called Pats and not Curbs, and a Northsider should know better. Right. Oh, it's Curbs.
No, it's Curbs. Like, what's the element, of the game? To hit the ball off the...
If anything, hitting the path is a bad thing to do.
Exactly.
It's the antithesis of the game, Pats.
Pats, it's like calling soccer wides.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, actually. Oh, it was Curbs in my neck of the woods as well.
Get it together, Michael.
I've heard of Curbs.
Yeah.
That cost you 30 cent. Katie Taylor looks set to defend her WBA and IBF World Lightweight titles at Madison Square Garden next month. The Olympic gold medalist will face the WBC Super Featherweight title holder Eva Wahlström at the iconic New York venue. That's according to reports in Wahlström's native Finland. Provided it gets the go-ahead, the fight would be on the undercard of Saul Canelo Alvarez's WBA Super Middleweight title meeting with Rocky Fielding on December the 15th. Wahlström's unbeaten at professional level, but lost to Taylor in the lightweight final of the European Amateur Championships in Norway way back in the mists of time in 2005.
You're a boxing aficionado. Do you know much about Wahlström?
Well, this is, I think this will be her biggest challenge as a pro. Okay. Like, this is a good matchup, and they've been very, very keen to get the fights that will propel her, particularly in the States, into the wider public consciousness.
Yeah.
And they were really frustrated after the last fight, which they thought would be far more competitive. And this, like Eva Wahlström, she is unbeaten. I think she's 21 fights. She's been around the block, and like I wouldn't pay much heed to the fact that Katie beat her in the amateurs 13 years ago. Like,
yeah.
That's a long, long time for both of them. She is 38, you know, she's 6 years older than Katie, but I think this could be quite a battle for her.
Yeah.
And I think in a way that's what she really wants. She would like
a war now to
catch the imagination.
2 weeks notice, too short?
Well, she went straight back into training because all along they were like they were looking at a couple of the other women with belts for that date on 15th of December. Yeah, and Rosie Vellante. So they were planning to fight on December 15th. Okay. And Wahlström had another fight lined up, so she's been in training as well.
She was due to fight in St. Petersburg the same weekend.
There's a text in hurling. I hadn't heard this before, actually. So the reason hurling, as we know today, is dominant in the south of the country is because there were once two forms of hurling in Ireland. Commons in the north, which was similar to shinty, and Bayer in the south. And when it came to standardising the game, Cusack went with the game he was most familiar with from his youth in Clare. So hence the southern counties were all familiar with it. And shinty died away in the north and hurling.
Yeah, that would be part of it. Another part of it was the land, good land. Like there was far better land in Munster.
That should affect football more than hurling. Do you need good land for hurling? Oh, I suppose you do for ground hurling, especially.
It always thrived in the counties with better land.
And it lent itself to ash production down there as well.
Yeah, that's a fair point, yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Anything else?
So maybe UNESCO are right, so after all.
Yeah, Conor Murray and Chris Farrell will both make their first starts of the season when Munster take on Edinburgh in the Pro 14 tomorrow evening. Both players made their returns from injury off the bench in last week's win away to Zebre. Their introductions among 11 changes made by Johan van Graan, with captain Peter O'Mahony, Andrew Conway, Keith Earls, Dave Kilcoyne, Niall Scannell, John Ryan and Tadhg Byrne all returning from international duty. Despite back-to-back Heineken Champions Cup games with Castres on the horizon, van Graan isn't looking beyond tomorrow night's opponents.
We won't focus on Europe too much yet. Edinburgh, like I said, are a tricky team. They box kick so well. They've got a very specific plan, and they've got some very good broken field runners. I think they're a team that never gives up. And you know, even the loss the weekends against the Dragons, right till the last minute, they could have won it. So now that's going to be a tough battle. So we'll focus on this one first. We've got, you know, like I said, the strange thing is the short turnaround from Sunday till Friday, and then the good thing is we've got a long turnaround of 9 days.
I was very happy to see this next story, Tommy Welsh.
Yeah, it would appear that Tommy Welsh is back on the Kerry Senior Football Panel. His Cairns O'Rahilly's manager, Micheál Quirk, has told Radio Kerry that the 30-year-old has been working with New Kingdom boss Peter Keane. Welsh departed the Kerry panel after their 2016 league campaign, frustrated apparently with a lack of playing time. Quirk, though, is sure that Welsh's body can cope with the rigours of a return to intercounty football.
I know he's gone in and he's done some of the conditioning stuff. So, maybe I assume he's he's on the panel or whatever, but I honestly, I don't know exactly what his current status is with all that. So, like, Tommy's up in Cork, you know, so we you know, to protect him as much as anything else, we don't bring him down during the week for training and all that. So, like, he's if his body is able, and I think it would be able once he'd be managed correctly, I think the guy has definitely got stuff he can contribute to Kerry. So, if he is in there, you know, it'll be something that he's well able for.
It'd be a good option to have.
Yeah, and I hope it works out for him. I'd be delighted if it did. Like, yeah. And just biased, because I did a piece with him last summer of last year, and I thought he was a really good fella, and he was clearly very disappointed the way his second coming didn't work out. And there's a lot of people in Kerry that were quite annoyed at it, particularly with the 2015 All-Ireland final. Remember, that was the one with really bad day. Remember,
Dublin
the weather
game.
Wise,
yeah.
Remember, really low score.
Well, Gooch having to trek back after Philly McMahon all day.
Yeah. But the conditions were appalling and everything. But a lot of people thought he should have been put on rather than Paul Galvin. Remember, Paul Galvin had come back out of retirement and he was put on. He actually did okay, Paul Galvin, in fairness. But Tommy Walsh, because Kieran Donaghy came on that day and he caused them a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And there was a feeling within Kerry that another big man going in as well could have made an impact.
Yeah.
And so he left after the following year's league. He is 31 in February, so he's been out of it for a while. But I know he has been playing really good club football.
Yeah.
And if this mark rule does come in,
yeah.
You know, that would be a thing as well. You know, it could be, especially with Donaghy gone, it could be a help to have.
Now, I wonder, will we see a raft of Kieran Donaghy prototypes now being once again unleashed on the county scene?
It depends if the mark comes in full time.
Isn't that one of the great difficulties actually facing managers? They're trying to plan for a season and they don't know the rules for the championship.
Of course, yeah.
Which is an extraordinary thing, actually.
It is. And
it's crazy.
And also, for players, the challenge, because a lot of players play are third-level students, so they're going to be playing for their colleges with different rules, and then playing the weekend for their county.
So it's not, doesn't apply to Sigerson?
No, it's the pre-season competition plus the league.
And it may not go to the league.
Yeah, and also, because, that's right, yeah. And if it does go to the end of the league, like some players would be playing club games as well with different rules. So it's very, very odd.
Yeah, I have sympathy for them because it is difficult if you're going to trial something like this, but it is a bit messy.
I saw the Examiner did a thing with... they arranged a challenge match between UCD and Carlow under the new rules.
Right.
And they had up some video of it. And I was looking at some of the marks I thought were ridiculous. Like people catching the ball on their chest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
just a 20-metre punt.
And basically getting a free kick for it. And you think, that's ridiculous. Why would you get a free kick for that?
No, it doesn't. It's not going to incentivise what they want to incentivise as much as they think. Michael Brick Walsh.
Yeah.
Stand the innovation, please.
Yeah,
for Brick Walsh.
He is back. New Waterford hurling manager Pádraig Fanning handed a twin boost ahead of their 2019 campaign. As you mentioned, Brick Walsh is in training with the data ahead of what will be a 17th year with the hurlers. Walsh this year set a new record of 74 senior inter-county appearances. Meanwhile, Shane Bennett has returned to the panel having opted out of 2018.
Good man, me. There's no keeping a good man down. No. Just one other thought, by the way, in the advance, Mark, is could you definitively, in an All-Ireland final with the eyes of the world on you, tell the difference between an 18 and a half metre kick and a 20 metre kick?
No, of course not.
Like, so do you give the mark or not?
Yeah, well, that's...
What do you do?
That's piling pressure on referees. Clearly, have nothing to do as things stand. Yeah.
Imagine that, though, if it comes down to it.
Yeah.
Because Billy Joe Padden was saying, we'll just have to put it at the referee's discretion the other night. And I was saying, what if it's Mayo's All-Ireland at stake? No discretion
or the five in a row for Dublin at stake.
I think they'll have to revisit that one because, look, the counting the hand passes sounds like no crack, but trying to call an 18 and a half versus a 20 metre punt for a mark at a vital stage of the game, how do we do that?
Yeah,
is my thought. Do you want to fill in the last story?
Yeah, some breaking news from South America. CONMEBOL have set the second leg of the Copa Libertadores final for Sunday, December 9th in...
Qatar?
No.
Bernabeu.
Yes. rather than Joseph. Okay. Madrid, Sunday the 9th. We'll have more on that as the evening progresses. But I don't know if both camps, especially Boca, are going to be happy with that one.
That is almost worth fans from Ireland if they have the money and nothing better to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty cool occasion.
Yeah, and it annoys people then who brand you as hipsters, even though it's a massive event.
It's the Champions League final of South America.
Yeah. But yeah, for some reason, one of the biggest sporting events in the world can be dismissed as niche and hipster, which is really strange, isn't it?
Just like hurling. Yeah. Meanwhile, first round of the Hero World Challenge. Bubba Watson leading on 4 under par midway through his opening round. He is a shot clear of Keegan Bradley and Patrick Cantlay and Patrick Reed.
Okay, earlier on, John Giles spoke to Keith Andrews on the Keith Andrews Football Show. We're going to play that for you next.
Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.